Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Kathopanishads and Questions and Answers, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
श्रेयश्च प्रेयश्च मनुष्यमेतस्तौ संपरीत्या विविनक्ति धीरा श्रेयो हि धीरोऽपि प्रेयसो वृणीते प्रेयो मंदो योगक्षेमाद् वृणीते. द गुड एंड द प्लेजेंट प्रेजेंट themselves बिफोर एवरीवन एंड दीज टू पाथ्स आर देयर बिफोर यू विथ अ क्वेश्चन हुम डू यू वांट द प्लेजेंट or good, early in the morning, from very morning, every moment, question comes before your mind. You are enjoying wonderful sleep, dream after dream, and at that time the question comes, should I get up, do japa, do meditation, should I close my eyes? Then you say, let me close my eyes. Tomorrow we'll do all those things. Then you have chosen prayer, what is pleasant. On the other hand, you raise yourself, brighten up, energize yourself, and follow your sadhana, and then feel a sense of mastery over yourself. A sense of joy. Outwardly, what it seems, you didn't enjoy wonderful sleep, you didn't stay with your wonderful dreams, you missed all that. But in reality, you have gained inner strength by following what is Shreya. So Shreya allows you to defeat your weaknesses. Prayer lets you fall for your weakness. But a wise man, having examined them both, understands the Shreya as distinct from prayer. Prayer is the lower grade, moving in a world of ignorance, leading yourself constantly to be in a world of fate, destiny, a world of helplessness. Shreya, on the other hand, enables you to discover your inner strength at all times, no matter how outwardly you may be feeling stressed, sorrowful, but there is an inner spark within you from where comes strength to wait, to be patient. Even this will pass away. And when it passes away, I am going to be brighter than before. That type of courage and insight, that comes when you are adopting Shreya. He considers the path of Shreya greater than the path of prayer, because the former leads to supreme blessedness. But men with dull intellect follow the path of pleasure and pursue worldly achievements. All ego-based achievements are worldly achievements. The third mantra. O Nachiketa, you have renounced all the enjoyments of the world, having studied them well, and you have not fallen into the trap of earthly prosperities, in which many fall. Trap of earthly prosperities. The statement relates to the previous chapter, not chapter, but the previous section, where we told the story of how Nachiketa was first tempted by Yama. Nachiketa wanted to know the nature of the self. the highest knowledge. And Yama wanted to test him. Is he qualified? So Yama presented to him many temptations. Ask of me all enjoyments, a long life, all pleasures of the senses, immense power, immense pleasure, and so forth. And Nachiketa didn't ask for any one of these, saying that you are giving me all, but one day you will take them away. Someone can give you the most costly diamond or a garland. You can have it for 10 years. Fear God, looking at the calendar, 10 years, come, you will take it away. In a short period of time, you can understand. But even if it were 90 years, 100 years, a life of joy and pleasure, 200 years, or whatever may be the fantasy, you must understand it is transient. Even if it were 500 years, even if it were 1,000,000 years, the world has seen many million years. So all attainments are non-eternal, transient. But the realization of self is the eternal attainment. So when realization of self becomes your goal, your mind does not fall under the trap of Maya. This is a profound point, and as long as your goal is pleasures of the senses, gaining something transient, your mind does not work with truth. Mind has to work with falsehood. And the path of falsehood requires a lot of complexities. Path of truth requires very simple. Just be yourself. Movement towards God realization is a progressive movement to become simpler, more and more. Blessed are the poor. More and more uncomplexed, simplest. I own nothing. I am nothing. As ego, from ego point. Otherwise, I am the self. But when you move into worldly values and go after them, you must know the business, you must know the business tricks, you must know people with whom you are doing business, how do their minds work. One of our scriptures, Ramayana, brings about Shadayantra. Conspiracies become a part of your life. The Sanskrit word for conspiracy is Shadayantra. 6 points. First, Prapanch. Prapanch is to create a kind of an agitated atmosphere. Next point, Maya. Create an illusion. In all sales, hear how advertisements are done. See so many illusions. So you have to create a lot of illusions. Third point, fear. Tell them, you don't buy from me, you are going to suffer. You will be a loser. People don't say directly, but in a subtle way. Next point is Brahm, giving you a blurred vision of things. Next point is called Arati. Arati means situation created by your enemy in such a way that your mind loses good taste, the right taste, healthy taste, you begin to lose, and you develop wrong taste. If you are with drunken people, your mind develops the idea, the more I drink, better am I. The last little called Uchatan. You become completely indifferent to your good. What's good for you, you don't like. That's the predicament of moving in a worldly way. But when you move towards practice of integral yoga in daily life, with seriousness, you are impacted by satsanga, you do japa, practice meditation, no matter how little you do, all these 5 points, all these 6 points, they complicate your mind, they move away. Your mind begins to enjoy sincerity, simplicity, goodness of feeling. Divine qualities begin to express through your mind, like garden of flowers. Otherwise, onions or garlics rot. These two, ignorance and knowledge, are far apart, contrary to each other. Just to live to accomplish various objectives in this world, live to just to acquire certain things of your desire, that's ignorance. You can go on becoming very prosperous, very rich, very powerful. You can write volumes about how it is all done. And millions may follow you. This is the path of success. All that's good in its own way. But compared to the goal of attaining liberation, all this is far apart. And it's contrary. Your goal is not to become materially prosperous and materially recognized as a leader and this or that. Your goal is to develop that mind that loves God, the heart that creates good qualities, a life that flows towards God realization. That's your goal. So these two paths are far apart. O Nachiketa, you are lover of knowledge. You have not been tempted by various enjoyments. And with this I'm going to conclude. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Namaste, pranams. Nice to be here again. I have a number of questions.
What's your name?
Mas. One that occurred to me while I was listening to your lecture was about just things to recognize as we're moving on the spiritual path. You remember when you started and how your consciousness perhaps changed from being with your Guruji, and over the years, one time you mentioned to me the sensitivities, and what are things that we can recognize that are giving us an indication that our consciousness is expanding, aside from feeling more peaceful? Because it seems that as the more we study, the more we recognize how much work we have to do to dissolve the ego, we become so much more aware. And then there's a feeling of being overwhelmed or daunted by the karmas and samskaras. So that's my first question. The next part is relative to Bhav. For me, my own experience is my moods change in the sadhana. And I want to get clear on sakshi bhav, anubhav,
And hold back.
Okay.
Your one question first. First point, all souls have gone many lives. So, same pattern of movement doesn't occur in everyone. Some may become very sensitive very early and very quick. Some may not. So that's normal. Now, any sensitivity increasing means you become more aware of immensity. The immensity is not really a detrimental to your knowledge. Even in science, the more science explores, the more it knows that it knows little. That has not discouraged the scientists. Rather, it's a kind of encouragement. If you are, your body receives dust particles and it doesn't matter. But your eyes receive one little dust particle and it matters. So the eyes are more sensitive. If eyes receive dust particle and it doesn't matter, then you need to go to optician. Implying that as spiritual sensitivity increases, it's natural to have a view. Things are not as promising as they appear. Therefore, there is overhauling feeling of emptiness in the world. But that is one part of it, and its compensating part, that you, part of God. Between the two, there will be kind of ups and downs. Sometimes this lower part will overwhelm you. But in the midst of all that, your effort is to allow the faith in you to become highlighted. To allow the spirit in you to become stronger and to understand the adversities are challenges presented by divine plan. If adversities are not to be faced, then nobody will attain enlightenment. So that attitude. Now your next question.
The next was with regards to the Bhav. And I know that the Bhavas are part of the Bhakti branch. And what I love about this Sampradaya and many of the traditional ones is the importance of an integral yoga, that you have to develop devotion as well as jnana and karma, Raj Yoga.
Let me explain that first.
Yes.
No one is to think that you have to. Your personality has four aspects. That's why divine nature has planned. For example, we are eating. Tastes good. Your mind says, but I have to digest it. Then another question. Having digested, I have to assimilate. What I'm trying to say, all this comes automatic. Natural. If mind becomes simplified, if your complexes of mind are moving away, your actions will become more of karma yoga. Your feeling will have more bhavana, bhav. Your mind will have more concentration. Your intellect will have more insight. All the four are interconnected. That's integral yoga, that concept has to develop. However, it is your choice to highlight any of the four. You can call yourself, I'm only total bhakti. Or I'm total karma yoga, or total meditation. But always understand, you can't fool nature. All the other three joined with it, whether you like it or not.
So, because certain sadhakas are more drawn toward jnana.
That's normal.
Normal. And then all develop.
But always it's integral.
I see.
Give more importance to your head, that's okay. Some people will give importance to their heart.
I see.
But wherever the heart goes, head is also there.
Yeah, because I found myself starting more as a bhakta, and now over the years with studying more Ayurveda and Jyotish,
So become, sometimes bhakti can open the door to jnana. It can make you a better karma yogi.
Right.
Sometimes jnana can make you a better bhakta.
Yes, I see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They're all interrelated.
So this is another question. This one's a little more trivial, but I've visited Uttarakhand many times and the Divine Life Society, and I'm sure you remember the Vashistha Gufa.
Yes.
And, is that the same Vashistha of the Samhita, the Vashistha Yoga, or Guru of Ram?
Names that are given to ashrams, places in pilgrimage centers.
Yeah.
The names are from the scriptures, but other than that, there is nothing else. For example, there is a bridge there called Lakshman Jhula. Lakshmana never walked upon. Same way, Vashistha.
So no correlation to Vashistha.
Nothing to do with it.
Okay. And I know that somehow Shivananda had a connection to. Were you aware of Swami Ramtir?
Swami Ramtir.
And there was his gufa up a little further up from Lakshman Jhul, and
all those. If you go to any pilgrimage center, there are so many things relating to ancient past. Mm. So much so, people even will show you stones that have prints. And they will say, this is the footprint of Bhima. Yeah. And you don't doubt it, you just adore it, your head upon it, and so forth. So that's a different, it's a matter of bhavana.
That's right.
It's not history, not geography, nothing.
That's right. I'll let somebody else can keep going. But.
Mm-hmm.
Swamiji, could you please repeat the yantra, that the six corner yantra was the star sagitation here?
Sorry. Yeah, I just like to ask you if it's possible to repeat the six corner yantra that you were giving, agitation, maya, then.
So all those 6 points.
Yeah.
Sharayantra. Mm-hmm. Do you have? You can get it through my email. Check with me, because then you will get more precise. Thank give you. Give him the my email. Okay. Roger Yashoda is giving to you.
Swamiji.
Yeah.
From Preya and Shreya,
mm-hmm.
when along the day you switch. Sometimes you're Shreya, sometimes you're Preya.
But God knows the calculation. Where your Preya becomes more, then you are getting into positive movement. In other, when Preya diminishes, Shreya becomes more, then you are moving higher. But when Preya becomes more overpowering, then we are slipping down. So there is always both are operating. Which one will win will depend on which one you are giving greater and greater value as time passes by. But you are not evaluated day by day.
So this is, I've been reading, studying the Gita for years, and this is with regard to states of consciousness, and so we have so many terms for different states of consciousness, and in particular I have four that I've run across. Sabikalpa, Nirbikalpa, Sahaj, Kaivalya. I am understanding a little bit more as differences between Sabikalpa and Nirbhikalpa, not from experience.
Sahaja and Kaivalya both are synonymous. Kaivalya is liberation, where Kaival means one non-dual. Sahaja means spontaneous. You are not scratching your head to know who am I. You know who you are.
And
spontaneous.
It's an unbroken state, right? The sahaj is a
your body identity in whole during the whole day is spontaneous. Your winking of the eyes is spontaneous. Listening through the ears is spontaneous. Spontaneous means there is no effort, no ego involved. And yet everything is precise, highly qualitative.
And you can, from what I understand, move at will from different waking state to subconscious state to superconscious. You can change at will.
Because you have become God, you see. Then for God, there is no problem. The sun can move from one cloud to another. You are not doing something new. It is just you have discovered your essential nature. That essential nature is all permeating. Any type of imagination is disrespecting that nature. Because your imagination cannot get it.
Can I ask another question?
Yes, okay.
Okay. You know, I've been practicing Ayurveda for years and...
But last time we said savikalpa and nirvikalpa, there is a difference.
Okay.
In savikalpa, you are involved with triad, seer, seen and sight. In nirvikalpa, triad moves away. Just like you go to sleep, when you are half sleepy, like savikalpa. We're involved with dreams. Nirvikalpa, absolutely. So that's the difference with the savikalpa and nirvikalpa.
But sense still functions in nirvikalpa. There's still sense function.
At that time, you are not aware of the sense.
Not aware.
No, when you are in deep sleep.
Complete.
In deep sleep, mosquitoes dance on your nose, and you're not. If you say, in deep sleep, are the senses functioning? You try and send them.
And I, thank you. One of the things I've been studying more and understanding is this, with regards to Patanjali's teachings of the importance of pratyahar. And he, I think, was... immense in his consciousness to explain the importance of that. Do you find that today, the given societies and how urban lifestyles become, that it's more and more difficult to experience that state? And how important is purity, saucha, in the preparations for holding that level of prana in the body? For example, I was doing some reading of Swami Vivekananda, and in those days, there were times where he was actually using tobacco. And then he would say, well, let's do more tapasya. But meanwhile, he reached samadhi years later after Ramakrishna had his Mahasamadhi. There seems to be some paradox or some contrast between some that can do certain things that are contradictory to attaining enlightenment.
What is the thing contradictory to enlightenment? Tobacco?
Some even say that some Buddhists are eating meat now, and they're still... One student friend said to me, you know, there are Buddhists, even the Dalai Lama says at times he eats meat. How, if this is a tamasic quality, we're trying to raise prana.
Everything has its context. You have to understand it not in a superficial way. Firstly, any writing on any big sage, it's all writer. So in his mind, when he started taking tobacco, he was not in samadhi. Later he entered into samadhi. But what about people who are in samadhi and they suffer from cancer or something like that, and the doctor injects all types of things worse than tobacco? Does that mean he loses his samadhi? his body, his eating and all that is far below his what he has attained. Your whole body is just a cell phone. The energy operating through it cannot be described on the basis, just like all the energy operating through the cell phone cannot be studied by looking at the cell phone and figuring out how that energy is. The cell phone may look like a cockroach. Body may look like a cockroach. We have this story of Ashtavakra, the great sage, 8 bends in his body. And yet, greatest of sages, you can't mix up bodily reality with internal enlightenment. For an aspirant, on the other hand, who has said, I will not eat meat I'll practice Manavrata, and then suddenly breaks it, then there is a question of what led him doing that. If he has no reasoning, rationality, and he has fallen from his promise, which is not good for him. So that's a different case.
In Ayurveda, we recommend meat at different times, depending on the disease.
Ayurveda recognizes you.
Yes.
Depending upon the patient, you choose different medicines. And with this, I'm going to conclude. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.